We always emphasize in these conversations South Africa's focus on expanding its exports. And in fact, we have what we call an export-oriented agricultural sector. The exports account for roughly half of South Africa's agricultural produce in value terms. And well diversified, the African continent accounts for roughly half of the exports, 20% to the EU. The Middle East and Asia is another important region, as well as the Americas, amongst various countries and regions that we export to. And when looking at the top 40 global agricultural exporters, you realize that South Africa is the only African country in that list, and it's ranked at number 32. And importantly, when looking at this sector, the progress that it has made since 1994, it has more than doubled in value and in volume terms. And there are two catalysts behind that. One catalyst is the investment that has been made at a farm level in boosting agricultural productivity through better seeds, better cultivars, as well as just the improvement in the farming techniques that has helped in increasing the volume of production. But the other catalyst is this integration into the world market, where when you look at it now, you realize that South Africa, that absorption of various products that we produce to all of this range of markets that I have mentioned, and that export pool or the demand pool is actually one of the catalysts that have assisted us in ensuring that we have a sector that is growing over time. It is on the basis of this that this past week, when I saw the news that China intends to lower import tariff for a range of goods from the African countries, I looked at this with optimism because China is an important market. Firstly, just looking at the global agricultural importers, China accounts for roughly 11% of that in value terms, just over $200 billion. That's China's products. There are a number of countries that supply China with agricultural products: Brazil, the US, Thailand, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Vietnam, France, Russia, Chile, the Netherlands, Malaysia are just amongst the countries that support China or supply China a range of the agricultural products. But of course, they are now looking at a space where China is looking to diversify its suppliers for various agricultural products, as well as the other goods, because they are aiming to lower the tariff for a range of products. But for someone who is sitting in the South African agricultural sector, I looked at these news with that eye of saying, perhaps we can widen our access to the Chinese market. We are already there. We export fruits, wine, red meat, nuts, maize, soybeans, and wool, amongst other products. Those are some of the things that we send into China, to China. And in fact, if you look at the value of products that South Africa exports to China, it is just around $900 million, so close to a billion of the products that we send to China. But as a share in the Chinese agricultural imports, South Africa is still fairly small. It accounts for about 0.4% in China's agricultural imports. So we are not really playing a significant role there. There are a number of things that limit our participation in China. One of those certainly is the fact that there are higher import tariffs in China. And there are also some phytosanitary barriers that we experience in China. Then them intending to lower the import tariffs, it's already a step in the right direction, because that's the core constraint that South Africa has experienced in that Chinese market. And the second one is, of course, the phyto barriers that do exist. And I think now what we are all waiting to see as South Africa is a list and more details on the texture on those products to say which tariffs will be lowered for what products, and how can South Africa participate in that space. And I think once that is done, the next step, of course, will ordinarily be on the phyto barrier side to say on the phytosanitary things, we have a range of these constraints, and what as South Africa then can we do to reduce those constraints that are there? And that's the conversation that will take place between South Africa's Department of Agriculture and their counterparts in China, and including, of course, the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, as well as DERCO, the Department of International Relations and Corporations. Those are the important levers in the South African government that would help us in engaging with China on this. But I think on the China side, I mean, this is part and parcel of this whole story of China of saying, look, they want to slightly reduce their reliance on the US, or maybe to diversify their sources of products. And as South Africa, we are one of the countries that can participate there. And I think we will be one of the winners from the African continent, quite specifically because a number of the African countries still do not have the volume that is sufficient to export to the Chinese market. So they will look into South Africa. And I think we are one of those key countries that will have the volume, because a number of African countries still have to do a lot on boosting agricultural productivity from their own domestic environment so that they can be able to meet their needs, but also export to China. Because if you look at the Africa's agricultural sector, you will realize that we still, as a continent, are importing around $80 billion worth of the agricultural products. And of course, that there's a greater share of it that is by the Maghreb region, the likes of Egypt, Tunisia, and the others constituting the large share of that in terms of wheat and the other grains. But also the sub-Saharan Africa region spends just over $40 billion in that 80, importing a whole range of products, which means then that we're still sitting at a deficit as a region. But of course, we can still export while we're importing other products. But I think the broader story has to move towards of saying, how do we improve agricultural productivity in the Southern Africa region? There's a number of things that can be done, which I myself, for example, have discussed some of these. There's a TED talk that I gave about a year or so ago where I was discussing some of these things. And you can look this up. You type my name on YouTube and then you type TEDx and it will come up and you can listen to that. But it all boils down to issues of embracing technology around seed breeding and their better genetics, extending title deeds or strengthening property rights so that people can invest, increased investment on public infrastructure, it's amongst those, the government practicing a little bit of a restraint and not intervening in agricultural markets so that their risk is lessened and there's much more stability and predictability about what will happen in the sector. All of these are important because what they do, they encourage the investments by the private sector into the agricultural sector of these countries. Because in the past, we have seen that countries like, for example, Zambia and the others, whenever there are droughts and some difficulties, they intervene into markets, blocking exports and all kinds of interventions. And these interventions tend to create a bit of a disinvestment in these countries. We also think that there's a room for strengthening or embracing organized agriculture, there are better structures of that could assist the farmers, especially for their local specific needs on things that cannot really be outsourced. And these must be locally funded one way or another so that they can have autonomy and not be accused of being the foreign forces that are influencing the agricultural sector of certain regions. These things are important because if China opens up and it begins to be this viable market, they will be looking for products, and then you will have a number of African countries that are unable to participate on that in agriculture. But of course, South Africa, Zambia, and a few are the ones that, at least in the near term, will be winners. And in the South African side, we are clear here, because I think what we need is greater access at lower tariff for fruits, greater access for wine, red meat, nuts, grains, and of course on wool, where China is already a big market for our wool. They take about 70% of our wool exports go to China, and so they are already a market that we rely on and we have relied on for quite some time. And China is a big market, as I said, about 11% or so of global agricultural exports is China, the second biggest after the US in 2024. And in years before that, China was leading on the importing side, and which is why then in South Africa we want to be part and parcel of the Chinese market, and even much deeper than the products that we already have. So what will matter in the coming weeks is what detail will we get from China about these products that they will be looking at lowering their tariffs, as well as how quick that process will be. But I think in the near term, the South African authorities must be engaging China, accepting these positive news, and thereafter nudging them to provide more details so that we are well lined up to be able to benefit from some of these exports that we can send to China and them lowering the tariff. So overall, we view this as positive news. And as soon as the more detail is available, we'll certainly tape another segment where we'll elaborate on that, as well as just broadly thinking about what that way of engagement South Africa-China should look like. And with that, folks, let's end there this week. And as always, thank you so very much for listening to this podcast. Share the link, spread it, and get more people to listening to the agricultural sector. And of course, I wouldn't end this without thanking the people that help in putting all this together, which is Richard Humphrey, Sam Kokeli, Nelsiwe Chabalala, and Amanda Murimba. Follow me on X and all other social platforms at Wandile Sihlobo, and follow the podcast, Mkokeli Podcast, as well as our publisher, The Financial Mail. Thank you so very much for listening.